Shabbos Daf Mem Aleph. We are starting on the bottom of Mem Amud Beis with the words Amar Rabbi Zera. Over the course of Daf Mem in Shabbos, the Gemara spoke extensively regarding bathing in hot water on Shabbos. Obviously, heating up the water on Shabbos itself would violate the Malacha of Bishul. Heating up the water before Shabbos and bathing on Shabbos itself would not violate an Issur Daraisa. However, the Gemara in Daf Mem discussed extensively the idea that there are rabbinic gzeris decrees that were instituted in terms of bathing in hot water on Shabbos, even when the water was heated before the Shabbos. Bathing was prohibited, your entire body, that is. The Gemara on Daf Mem discussed extensively bathing parts of your body, washing parts of your body. There are allowances to washing parts of your body, but the Gemara gave much more detail regarding that. The Gemara discussed doing a version of bathing, which is kind of like a Zeya, taking a Shvitz and having a steam bath. In other words, rinsing your body after having gone to the Shvitz. There was a period in time where that was allowed. That also was incorporated within the Gzera. And then Chamei Tveria was on the table as well. One cannot go take a bath in Chamei Tveria. But again, that was originally thought to be included in the Gzera, but eventually that was repealed. That was a Gzera She Hatzibor Enu Yachol La'amod Bo. It was just too onerous a Gzera for the populace. The Gemara now continues, Amar Rabbi Zera, Ana Chazisa L'Rabbi Abahu. So Rabbi Zera says that I saw Rabbi Abahu the Shabbat Bati. So he was in some form of a bathtub, V'lo Yadani Akar Ilo Akar. And I don't know if his feet were up or his feet were not up. In order to facilitate understanding for this Gemara over here, take a look at the Gemara at the Rashi on the bottom. So Rashi describes over here that he was in a bathtub on Shabbos. And Rashi writes, Lo Yadani Yaka. I'm reading the Rashi inside, three lines from the bottom. Raglav min ha'aretz. And I don't know if his feet were off the ground. To kasavar, ki tanan in chatana pnei hamayim b'mashilim peros. Rashi over here is quoting the Gemara in Beisa that says that there is a rabbinic decree not to swim in the water on Yantav and on Shabbos. And the Rashi is writing b'mashilim peros. That's just simply the name of the perek over there. B'nahar gadol, and one is not allowed to go swimming in a large lake. And the reason why the rabbis prohibited swimming in a lake on Shabbos or on Yantav is because it would lead to construction. You're going to want to put together some sort of flotation device, and so therefore the rabbis decreed swimming in a lake. However, to just be sitting in a bathtub, so that is not fall under the category of this gzera. And it seems from the Gemara that the distinction to be drawn regarding whether or not what you're doing is just simply waiting, or what you're doing is swimming, is going to be dependent on whether your feet are up or your feet are not up. Meaning, if your feet are up, so that means that you're swimming, and if your feet are down on the ground, so that's just simply waiting, and that's not swimming, and that wouldn't fall under the prohibition of swimming in a large lake. And so Rabbi Zera is reporting that he saw Rabbi Abahu in the Sambati, and we're also going to add over here that there is a general prohibition, as we discussed in the previous daf, that one is not allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos, even if the water was heated before Shabbos. So we could suggest a couple of things. Number one, it could be that this is a cold bath. Additionally, we could also suggest that this was in the Meitveria, which didn't make it into the Gzera. In any event, I don't know if his feet are up or his feet was not up. Shita deloaka. And the Gemara says, and it's obvious that his feet were not up, meaning his feet were down on the ground, and this is more like wading, it's not swimming. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa teaches us that a person is not allowed to swim within a pool, even if the pool is enclosed within a chatzir. And so the Gemara over here says, so it seemingly is over here, it's got to be obvious that his feet were down and that he was wading and he wasn't swimming. So the Gemara says, Lokasha had le gidude had isle gidude. Now the Gemara draws a distinction in terms of whether or not there was an embankment around the we'll call it the bathtub, we'll call it the small swimming pool. There's an embankment or there's no embankment. So when there would be embankment, so then it would be mutter, but if there's no embankment, then it would be aser. The obvious issue to try to explain the Gemara over here is what's the difference whether there's an embankment or there's not an embankment. If you take a look at Rashi on the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, Rashi offers two pshatim in terms of what the difference would be. I'm going to go with Rashi's second pshat, which is the one he prefers, Velinira. Rashi is five lines down from the top. Velinira de isle gedude share, that when there is an embankment, it would be permitted to lo dami lanahar, because it doesn't look like a lake. Ela lekli, So it looks more like a kli if there's some sort of ridge around it. And the gzera de rabbanan is only not to swim in a lake, but if it has something which is kind of like a ridge around it, so it looks more like a kli, looks less like a lake, and so therefore the general prohibition of swimming in such an area would in fact not constitute the issur de rabbanan of swimming within a lake. So basically the Gemara now says that it could be that Rabbi Abba, whose feet were in fact up, but there wouldn't be a problem because this is more like a kli than it is like a lake, and therefore it doesn't fall under the gzera. In terms of whether or not a pool could be used on the Shabbos, so obviously this Gemara is going to be the starting point of the discussion of whether a pool can be used on Shabbos or not. However, there are many other considerations other than just simply the Gemara in Beitza. And for a halachic discussion of this point, so speak, do the research and speak to your local Orthodox Rav. But it's seemingly from the Gemara, there is certainly a position to take that a certain that as long as it has a kli type status to it, like a bathtub, so then it would be okay. But again, also you have to take into consideration the Gemara that we learned yesterday regarding the gzera of bathing in hot water, even if the water was heated before Shabbos. So obviously there's a lot to take into consideration over here, and the halach lamaisa is still a ways from the Gemara in which we learned together. Continuing the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zera Ana Chazisa L'Rabbi Abba Ushiniach Yadav Keneged Panav Shalmata V'lo Yadani Inaga Ilo Naga. Rabbi Zera says, I also saw Rabbi Abahu where he put his hand on his private area in order to cover his private area, and I don't know if he touched or he didn't touch. Pshita D'lo Naga, the Gemara says, well, obviously he didn't touch the Tanya. And we now go back to the Gemara's Anid on the second paragraph, the beginning of the second paragraph. Rabbi Elazar Amar Kalochiz Ba'ama Mashtin, a person who holds on to his private area in order to urinate, Kilo Mevi Mabal Olam, it's like bringing a flood to the world. Rashi over there, as Rashi over here, both explain that the mabul came as a result of the fact because people were acting in a way in which they were generating shichva zer levatala, and as a result of that, that was one of the impetuses that brought the mabul. Obviously, also geneva gazela as well, the oshek, but nevertheless, the act of touching themselves in their private area and arousing themselves and stimulating and causing zera levatala, that was one of the reasons that brought about the mabul. So it's clear that he didn't touch himself. So Amar Abaye Aso Kibol Lesha. So Abaye says, no, under certain circumstances, it would be acceptable, it would be okay. Did not, and the Gemara here quotes the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, and we saw this back in Nida as well. Balesha Shenechnas Aleir, if I have I have some sort of army that goes into the city, B'Shah Shalom, at a time of peace, Chavios Psuchos, Asuros Sesumos Mutaros. If you have any barrels of wine that are open, we have to assume that the non-Jewish soldiers went and they made contact with the wine, rendering the wine prohibited. It would now be Stam Yenam, possibly it'd even be Yain Nesach, but certainly they came into contact with the wine for any of the open barrels of wine. Sesumos, but if the barrels are closed, Mutaros, then it would be permitted. Bishas Machama, however, if it's a time of war, Elevelu Mutaros. So there is no time for any kind of Nisach whatsoever because of the chaotic nature of war. So we're going to be assuming that there is not going to be any soldiers who's going to take the time now to come into contact with any of the wine. Lefisha ain't Pnai Lenasech. And here the Brisa says it very clearly because there's simply no time to do Nisuch. So Amma came into Beisei, Lamanaske. So what do you see over here? That when the mood is that of fear and anxiety, so no one's going to be involved in Nisuch Hayan. Hachanami came to Beisei, Loasi Laharure. Similarly over here, if a person is on the embankment of a river, now I'm kind of giving away the upcoming Gemara, but when the person's on the embankment of a river, the person is not going to, because he's so tense and he's so filled with anxiety, so therefore he's not going to be involved in any kind of hirurim, and it will not be leading to shichva zer levatala. V'hachamai b'yisusa, the Gemara says over here, what kind of anxiety are we talking about? B'yisusa d'nahara, the person is by the river. In this particular case, he was by the river, and it was a very treacherous place to walk and to navigate, and there is a possibility that they're going to fall in the river, and so therefore that leads to fear and anxiety, and it will not give him the opportunity, the mind space, in order to be involved in shichva zer levatala. Eini, the Gemara says this is true. V'hamar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Kol Aminech Yadav Keneged Panav Shalmata Kilo Kofer Berbisur Shal Avram Avinu. Now the Gemara says now there is a counter consideration, and that is that which was taught going back to the name of Rav, and that is that anyone who takes their hand and puts it over the bris milah, your kofer brevisa shel Avram Avinu. A person is seemingly giving the impression that he's embarrassed over the fact that he had a bris milah, and he is not showing off his bris milah. So we have over here now, obviously, two competing values. On one hand, the Gemara says one is not allowed to put his hand on the area and touch the area, leading to stimulation, leading to shechva zera levatala. On the other hand, the Gemara says the other consideration is that a person should be proud of his bris milah. So lo kasha haki nachis haki salak. So the Gemara says, okay, the distinction that we're going to make is when he's going down to the river versus when he's going up to the river, and we're going to explain the distinction in just a moment. Ki hada Rav Shachi, Rabbi Zera Zakif. Rava would bow down, meaning he would bend over in order not to show off his bris milah. Rabbi Zera Zakev, Rabbi Zera would stand upright. Rabbanan Debe Ravashi, and the students of Ravashi, Kikanachte, when they would go down to the river Zakfe, so then they would stand up straight, Kikasalke, but when they're going to come up from the river, Shachi, then they would bend over. And Rashi over here now explaining this distinction. What's the difference between going down to the river versus coming up to the river? So Rashi writes over here, Kinachis, I'm reading the Rashi inside. When he goes down, Lanahar, Panav Kape Hanar. Now he's facing the river, Ein Kan Mishum Tznius. So now there's no Tznius issue because, in other words, his private area is not facing the public view. And as a result of that, now he's in a situation in which he should be standing upright because also lechsoso, he's not allowed to cover the area. In other words, he should be proud of his bris milah. On the other hand, when he comes up from the river, now he's facing the public view, so now he should be putting his hand over the area in order for tznius purposes. So that's the distinction, as Rashi explains, between going down to the river versus coming up to the river. The Gemara now, as long as we went over a couple of stories regarding Rabbi Zera, so we go over to another story, Rabbi Zera, I would say a famous story regarding Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera, have a kamishtamit mid Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Zera was hiding from Rav Yehuda. We get versions of the story in a number of places throughout Shas. Rabbi Zera was a student of Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Zera wanted to make Aliyah, and as we're going to see in just a moment, Rav Yehuda was opposed to the idea. Now Rabbi Zera wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, make Aliyah, but he knew that Rabbi Yehuda was opposed to the idea. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda was vehemently opposed to the idea. He said that anyone who goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is in violation of a positive commandment. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Bavel yavou v'shama yiyu, that you're going to go down to Bavel and there you're going to be. And there you're going to be until you're going to get called up. This is the pasuk that's cited by Rav Yehuda supporting his position that when we go down to Bavel, we stay in Bavel until we get called up. A couple of points over here regarding the citation of this particular pasuk. One, Rashi brings down over here, obviously Rabbi Zera knows about this pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Rabbi Zera knows his Tanakh. How is he going to understand it? So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Ksuvos, where Rabbi Zera understands that the pasuk is not talking about the people, rather it's talking about the klisharis. And the klishar is also probably, we mean by that, by extension, also the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning that the Beis HaMikdash cannot be rebuilt until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the permission in order to build the Beis HaMikdash. But it's not talking about the people. The people can go back to Eretz Yisrael whenever they'd like, and they don't need to be called up. That is Rabbi Zera's understanding of this pasuk. Additionally, this pasuk was said by the Navi Yirmiyahu, and the pasuk over here was in relationship to Churban Bayis Rishon, the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And he says that you can't come back up until you get called up again, and that is ostensibly to build Bayis Sheni. Fine. But meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Zera obviously are post Bayis Sheni. They're living after Churban Bayis Sheni. So over here, it's interesting that Rabbi Zera thinks that this pasuk Rabbi Yehuda thinks that this pasuk not only is related to the Churban Bayis Rishon, but it's also related to the Churban Bayis Sheni as well. You could make an easy distinction, a very clear distinction between the two, but interestingly, Rabbi Yehuda does not make that distinction, and he feels that once the Jews were sent into Bavel again, so they cannot come back until they're called up again. So what we have over here is a basic distinction, a fundamental difference of opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Zera in terms of whether it would be okay to leave Bavel and to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Amar, so Rabbi Zera, who was committed to going back to Eretz Yisrael, so he said the following, Ezov Eshma, Minei Milsa. So he says, look, what I'm going to do is as follows. I'm going to go to the Beis Medrash one more time. I'm going to learn by Rabbi Yehuda one more time. The AC, and then I'm going to go back home. The ASIC, and then I'm going to pack my bags, and I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael. ASIC literally means to go up to Eretz Yisrael. That's an aliyah. Azza Ashkechei Dekai Beibani. So he finds his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, was in the bathhouse. V'kamerle L'shamei. And he said the following to his attendant. Number one, Avi Ali Neser. Bring me some sort of shampoo for my hair. Number two, Avi Ali Masreik. Bring me a comb so I can comb my hair. Number three, Pizchu Pamaychu V'afke Hevle. Open up your mouth and let the hot air come into your mouth. Number four, V'ishta Maya. De Beibani, drink the water of the bathhouse. And with these four things that he overheard Rabbi Yehuda telling his attendant, Amar. So Rabbi Zera now was able to say, good, now I learned something. And so before I go to Eretz Yisrael, I could say that I learned something right before I went to Eretz Yisrael from my Rebbe. Il malei basi al lishmo davrezeh, had only heard this, daye, that would have been sufficient. Bishlam ha'evi nes revi masreik. Now the Gemara wants to know, what did Rabbi Zera learn from these statements of Rabbi Yehuda? What halachic considerations over here? So the Gemara says, as far as the first and second statement regarding the bringing of the shampoo and the comb, kamash malan dvarim shochom otolam rambalashen kodesh. So he says, what we learn from here is that even though Rabbi Yehuda was in the bathhouse, and the bathhouse is not a place where you can study Torah, nevertheless, you can speak Lashon Kodesh. We already made this point in yesterday's daf, but we get to say it again, and that is Lashon Kodesh is not the critical issue regarding the bathroom and bathhouse. It's what the topic of the discussion is. If you're discussing Divrei Torah, so that can be discussed in the bathroom and the bathhouse. But if you're discussing Divrei Chol, that can be discussed in the bathhouse, and bringing the shampoo and bringing the comb are Divrei Chol. And so therefore, he could say it in the bathhouse, even though he's using Lashon Kodesh. As far as the opening of the mouth and breathing in the hot air, so that follows the position of Shmuel. Because what happens is that when you ingest the hot air, so what you're going to do is that you're really going to schwitz very good. Now the hot air is going to pass through you. At least you might debate on it, but to drink the water of the bathhouse. And let's be clear, he is not suggesting that he was drinking the same water that he was bathing in. What he was just simply saying is that you need to drink hot water. My mal yusa. Why is that good? Detanya achav loshasa achilaso dam. So the Gemara quotes a brisa. Now the brisa is going to mention a number of health-related issues. One of them is relevant to our discussion. If a person were to eat but didn't drink afterwards, so achilaso dam, literally eating blood, meaning it's not good for you. It's very bad for you to eat and not drink. Vizel tchilas cholam e'ayim. It leads to intestinal issues. Achav lohalach nala amos. If a person eats but does not walk for amos. Achilaso markevis. What's going to happen is that immobility is going to lead to the food just simply sitting and rotting inside of you. Vizel tchilas reach ra. Leads to bad breath. Hanitzrach l'nakavav. If a person needs to go to the bathroom, va'achal, and he eats while having the need to go to the bathroom, dom latana shesiku agabe efro. It's like lighting an oven, but there already is a layer of ashes on the oven, and so therefore what you're doing is you're not clearing out the oven before starting a new fire. Vizel tchilas reach zuama. And this leads to a general foul odor. Rachitz b'chama v'lo shasa behem. If a person bathes in hot water and doesn't drink hot water, again, not the water you bathed in, just simply meaning other hot water. Dom latana sheisikum mebechutz v'lo isikum mebifnim. It's like an oven where when you fired up the outside but not the inside. And that's not good. In other words, in order to get a strong oven, you have to fire up both the outside and the inside as well. Rachitz b'chamim v'lo nishtatef bitzonein. If a person bathes in hot water but does not rinse in cold water, domo lebarzel sheikh nusul or v'lo chnusul etzonein. It is like when you heat up the iron. So what you do is you heat it up in the fire, but you don't run it under cold water. And in terms of the process of hardening the metal, you got to run it under cold water after you heat it up in the fire. Rachitz v'lo sach, if a person bathes but doesn't rub oil in, domo lemayim agabe chavis. It's like water over the barrel, which doesn't go into the barrel. And so that means to say that it's not good. You got to rub oil into your skin after having opened up the pores, after having been in the shvitz. Okay, so numerous points that were made in the brisa. The reason why we quoted this brisa, even though it made a number of points, but the one point that was related to our discussion is that it is important, it is critical, that after you take a hot bath, you have a schwitz, so you also have to drink hot water as well, so that the heat is coming in both externally and internally. We are at the Mishnah, on towards the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph Mul Yar, and here we're talking about various water urns. There are going to be three different types of water urns. Two of them are actually mentioned in the Mishnah, but when all said and done, there's going to be three different types of water urns. A picture here is worth 1,000 words. I'd even suggest more than 1,000 words. But if we had a picture of what these items look like, so then my ability to describe them is going to be significantly less than the picture that you're looking at. However, if there's no picture, so I will make an attempt to describe these different types of water urns. The two that are going to be described in the Mishnah is one's called the Mulyan, the other one is called the Antichi. These are not Hebrew words, these probably are Greek words, but regardless, these are two different popular water urns that were used back in the day. The Antichi, the Mulyar, let's start with the Mulyar. The Mulyar is something where that everyone knew it was ubiquitous. And when you say the mulyar, everyone knew what you were talking about. Obviously, nowadays we have no idea what they were talking about, but back then it was common knowledge what the mulyar is. The antichi, on the other hand, the antichi was a bit ambiguous, and the antichi could come in one of two different types of water urns, which I will attempt to describe in just a moment. In terms of which one of them collects and contains the greatest amount of heat, it's going to be clear in the Mishnah that the antichi is able to sustain and maintain a lot more heat than that of the mulyar. That will become clear. Even though, as I just pointed out, we're not 100% sure what the antichi is, but the Gemara is going to go over a couple of possibilities. With all that stated, let's see the Mishnah inside. Mulyar, hagaruf, shosen himen of a Shabbos. So if I have this mulyar, and what I did is I moved the coals to the side. I did gurufa. So now I heated up the water in this mulyar before Shabbos, and I moved the coals over to the side, or let's even say that I removed the coals altogether. However, we're going to describe gurufa, going all the way back to the beginning of the parak. So then one can use this mulyar on Shabbos. The water in this mulyar would be able to be used on Shabbos itself. Antichi. However, when it comes to the antichi, afapisha gurufa ain't shosen nemenu. Even though the coals were swept to the side, one is not allowed to drink from the antichi on Shabbos. Okay, so in terms of the simple pshat in the Mishnah, without going in through into the details of what these apparatuses are, so in terms of the simple pshat in the Mishnah, it is not going to be a simple pshat. Meaning the mulyar is something which is a water urn, and it's got some sort of heat source, and if I take the coals and move them to the side, and I do grufa so I can drink from it. Good. And this is consistent with what we said in the beginning of the perek. However, the antichi, it's really difficult to understand. Because the antichi, even though we did grufa, we did the activity of grufa, we moved the coals to the side, I can't drink from it on Shabbos, it's difficult to understand why. Meaning, you go back to the first Mishnah, we learned together, in the first Mishnah we said that if I have a food that is on a kira, and I did grufa or ketuma, so then it would be okay to go ahead and to use it. Now, it's true, however, in a later Mishnah in this parak, we did talk about the tanner, we talked about the oven, and we said that by the oven, if it's heated in coals, and even if I did grufa, I can't use from it. And so maybe over here, the antichi is something that's in concept, in principle, something more similar to the tanner than it is to the kira. Perhaps we could say something like that along those lines. It happens to be that the Gemara bypasses that this entire discussion. The Gemara is just really going to be focused more on what the apparatus is, but in terms of how is it that by the antichi, even when I do that, when I perform the procedure of grufa and I am adjusting the flame like we discussed in the beginning of the parak, and I still can't use the antichi, so admittedly that's challenging to understand, but that's certainly what the Mishnah is saying. The Gemara starts off with the discussion, Hechidami Mulyar. So the Hagar of Tana Maim Bebetzim Vekachal Mebechus. So the Gemara gives a very quick and simple description of the Mulyar, and that is that the water is on the inside and the coals are on the outside. Again, like I said, the picture over here would be priceless in terms of helping us understand what we are describing over here. But the basic idea of the Gemara is that the coals are basically externally sourced. They're basically in pockets that are surrounding the mulyar, and so therefore the coals are on the outside. As I mentioned in introducing the Mishnah, the mulyar clearly is the apparatus that does the least in terms of maintaining and sustaining the heat. Antichi. Now we get up to the antichi, and the Gemara now is going to be bringing a debate exactly what the antichi is. Rab Amar Bekiri. So Rabba describes it as a Bekira, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Bedudi. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak describes it as a Bedudi. Now, these are expressions in terms that in the time of the Gemara, obviously, we're clear to all what they're describing. And to us, again, we are challenged because we really don't know what the Bekiri is. We really don't know what the Bedudi is. But, however, if I could try to at least give some sort of description in terms of what they are. So the Bedudi is something where you have the coals that are situated underneath the urn. So in other words, the heating element finds itself underneath the water urn. The Bekira, on the other hand, is that where you have the heating element side by side with the water. Unlike the Mulyar, where the heating elements are just basically pockets on the external side of the pot, when it comes to the Bekiri, so you basically have this utensil, this apparatus, you basically divide it in half. On one side you have the coals, on the other side you have the water. Okay, and here's something before we go further on the Gemara, which is clear in terms of the Gemara's assumptions, and that is that of these three apparati that we just described, we are going to go in order in terms of that which supports and sustains the least heat to that which supports and sustains the most heat. Going from that which sustains the least heat, you have the Mulyar. The next thing you have is the Beidudin. And the next thing you have is the Beikiri. The Beikiri is going to be the one that sustains the most heat. And so now the Gemara says, what is our definition of Antich? We just had a debate between Rabbi and Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rabbi says it's the Beikiri. That's the item that sustains the most heat. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says it's a beidude, which is not sustaining the most heat. Mandar me beidude kol shekein beikiri. Now, if we say that if the antichi is the beidude, and even adjusting the flame by sweeping the coals to the side will not allow you to use the beidude kol shekein beikiri, well, for sure you won't be able to use the beikiri if the beidude is going to be prohibited even when the coals are adjusted. So certainly the beikiri, which maintains more heat, is certainly not going to be able to be used on Shabbos. However, if you maintain that the definition of the antich is the beikiri, well, that's the most extreme. Maybe with the argument over here is that the beikiri cannot be used on Shabbos, even when the coals are swept, but the beidudi can be used. Tanya Kavasi to Rav Nachman, the Gemara now is going to support Rav Nachman's pshat, antichi afal pisha grufa v'ktuma, even though the antichi is garuf v'katum, even though the coals were either swept to the side, or you sprinkle the ash over the coal, and shows him, but you are not allowed to drink it from it because the nechoshes is going to be warming it up. Rashi over here writes, as far as the nechoshes, nechoshes shala ama biyorosha nechoshes kai. We're talking about a copper pot. Rashi continues, the nechoshes meshamer v'sichaso v'ani omer nechoshesa loshon shulayim. Now Rashi also offers another pshat that the nechoshes over here is a reference to the word bottom. He has a pasuk in Yecheskel that supports such a definition. Yana shefech nechushasech v'lashon shel amishta nechushaso shel atanor b'meseches kelim v'shani antichim mimuyar demitoch shel shulayim mechusim chomeim mishtamer v'afagav shegafu gechalim. And Rashi over here writes what we basically already pointed out, that by the mulyar the heat source is somewhat external, but when it comes to the antichi the heat source is more internal. Anyway, what comes out from this over here is that the way he's describing it is that he's describing like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. The Braisa is going like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that when it comes to the antichi, the reason why it sustains and maintains more heat is because the heat source is internal. It sounds like he's describing something which is a beidudi, where the heat source is on the bottom. And the Braisa over here seems to be supporting that position of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Comes out now from the Gemara, at least what seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara, that only the Mulyar, the water urn, can be used on Shabbos, but the Beidudi and the Beikiri cannot be used on Shabbos, assuming that we're going like the Pshat of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. We are up to the bottom Mishnah on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph Hamechem Shepinuhu. If I have my water urn and I was Mifane it, and what I did is that I removed it. Now that's a pronoun, and the problem with the pronoun is we're not clear what the pronoun is modifying. Now, there are two possibilities over here, and the Gemara is going to go over both possibilities. One is that we're talking about the removal of the pot off the fire. Or, alternatively, we're talking about the removal of the water from the pot. So that ambiguity in that Mishnah is going to be explored in the Gemara, so let us wait till we get to the Gemara in order to have this discussion. Amechem shepino lo yitin lesochot sonei. One is not allowed to put cold water into this mecham, into this hot urn, bishvil sheichamo, so that the cold water becomes hot, meaning that would be considered cooking. Avanosin hu lesocho o lesocha kos kedei lafshiran. But what you can do is, you could take from the water, from the hot water urn, you could put it into cold water, or you could put it into a kos in order to just simply remove the chill of the cold water. So this Mishnah over here is quite frankly covered in ambiguity. And so let us begin the Gemara in order to gain a better understanding of this Mishnah. My Ka'amar, Gemara's question is really simple. What does the Mishnah mean when the Mishnah talks about pinehu, that you removed it from it? What it from it are we talking about? We're looking to clarify what exactly the pronouns are modifying. Amar Rav Ada bar Masna hachi kamar. So this is going to be the first pshat of the Gemara, that of Rav Ada bar Masna. Hamechem shipina mimenu mayim. We're talking about where I took the pot and it had hot water in it, and I emptied out the hot water. So what I was mefane is the water. So she put on mimenu mayim chamim. Obviously, the water in it was hot. Lo yitein lesocha mayim muatim kedei shichamo. So now that I'm dealing with an extraordinarily empty, hot pot, So what I cannot do now is just put a little bit of cold water in there. Because this pot was directly over a fire, this is a Kli Rishon. The Kli Rishon has the ability to cook. And what's going to happen now is that if I put a little bit of water within this pot, so then one is going to be in the violation of Bishul B'Shabbos. Aval nosa lesochem mayim merubim kedei lafshiram. If, however, what I'm going to do is put in a lot of cold water into the pot, so in doing so, so the only thing that's going to happen to the cold water is that the chill will be taken off, meaning because there is so much cold water, so we're not going to have the ability, that pot is not going to have the ability to cook the cold water, but rather what it's going to simply do is just simply remove the chill. The Gemara continues now on the Amud Beis, Ba'alam et Sarev. Now the Gemara says, now let's take the following into consideration. It's true that vis-a-vis Bishul, when I pour in a lot of cold water, so it will not result in Bishul. That part is clear. However, let's now focus on the pot itself. The pot itself is going to be subject to Siruf. Now we just got done discussing this on the Amud Aleph, right before the first Mishnah. And that is the idea that after you heat up metal, so what you need to do is you need to then put cold water over the metal in order to harden it. And so over here, if we can just look at now this mecham, this hot urn, where I emptied out the contents of the hot water, and now I'm putting cold water in it, so that is now being mitzaref. I am now going to be hardening the pot. And as Rashi points out over here, that is a malacha on Shabbos. What is the malacha on Shabbos? So Rashi writes over here in the top Rashi, Zui gemar malacha satsurfim. This is what the smiths do when they finish off the product, otherwise known as makeh bepatish. Putting the final touches in the production of any kli is a violation of makeh bepatish. And so over here, when you're running cold water over the hot metal, so you're being mitzaref, and that is the malacha of makeh bepatish. And that would be prohibited to be done on Shabbos. Now, we have to take the following into consideration, and that is, this is not the person's intention, meaning the person is just simply putting in the cold water in order to take the chill off the cold water. He's not interested in doing siruf, and so we're looking at over here an issue of davar she'eino miskaven. So the Gemara now makes exactly that point. So the Gemara says that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon subscribes to the idea that a davar she'eino miskaven is going to be mutter, and that's why your intention was not to be mitzarif, and therefore one is not going to be in violation of makeh bepatish. Tosfos over here discusses extensively, but if I could just highlight one line of the Tosfos. Look at this Tosfos Divrei Maskil Mecham Shepina Mimenu Mayim, and look at the second wide line in Tosfos Vitzarich Lomar. The Lo Havi Psik Reisha Shiachol Liyosh Lo Yitzarf De Bipsik Reisha Mod Rabbi Shimon. So Tosfos over here makes a point that's very critical to the entire discussion of Rabbi Shimon and a Davar She'eino Miskaven, and that is that even though it is not your intention, but if it's something which is inevitable, if the malacha that's going to be done is inevitable, even though that wasn't your intention, so this files under the category of psik resha, and Rabbi Shimon would agree that one is not allowed to engage in that on Shabbos. We're going to be hearing a lot of that over the course of this masechta, and so Tosfos over here says that you have to say in order to suggest that putting the cold water on the hot metal urn is not going to be a violation because we subscribe to Rabbi Shimon, you have to say that for reasons which Tosos discusses a little bit more, but Tosos just basically says you have to say that it's not a psik resha, that this is not something that is absolutely going to happen. Otherwise, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that would be aser. Continuing in the Gemara, second line down, Maskef la'abayim midi mechem shepina mimenu mayim ketani, mechem shepinuhu ketani. So the Gemara says that Abaye fundamentally disagrees with this reading of the Mishnah just simply for the reasons of syntax. Meaning if you're reading the Mishnah carefully, it does not sound like the pronoun is modifying anything other than the pot itself. The Mishnah does not say, Mechem shepina mimenu mayim, that I have the pot and I remove the water from the pot, but rather it says Mechem shepinuhu, the pot in which I removed it, meaning it seems to be modifying the pot itself. And so therefore, Elam Arbaya, Abaye offers now a different pshat in the Mishnah, and that is, Hachi Kamar, this is how we're going to be reading the Mishnah. Hamechem Shepinu V'yesh Bo Mayim Chamim, if I have a hot urn with water in the hot urn that came to a boil, and I remove the pot with the water inside off the fire, so there, now we're talking about a Kli Rishon that has been removed from the fire. So by putting in a little bit of cold water, that little bit of cold water is going to get cooked in that hot water. In other words, we're talking about Bishul. Even though it's a Kli Rishon, Shehusar Mina Eish, it is a It's still the original pot that's been removed from the fire, but nevertheless, it has the ability to cook. And so therefore, that little wort that you go in is going to be subject to bishul. Now what you can do is you can put in a lot of water in order so that the water now will, the chill will to be taken off. When you put in a lot of water, so the it will be too much water for it to be cooked, and the only thing that will be done is that the chill will be taken off that water. Now, what we're going to do is as follows. Now that we're explaining that the Mishnah is talking about, the first part of the Mishnah is where I remove the pot from the fire and the pot was with the water, and we just explained. And we just explained that the pot with the water, you can't add a little bit of water, but you can add a lot of water. So now we're explaining, we're going on to the next part of the Mishnah, which is Mechem Shepinam Emenu Mayim, that if I have the hot urn in which water has been removed, Lo Yitain L'Socho Mayim Kol Iker. So now you're not allowed to put any water in it, because now you're putting cold water directly onto the metal urn, Mimnesha Mitzaref. And here, the reason why you're not allowed to do that is because one is going to be in violation of the Isser of Tziruf. Now, this is not your intention. And Rabbi Yehudi, Hidamar Davashin Maskavin Asar. But over here, we're going to explain that our Mishnah here is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda, where even though it's a Davashin Maskavin, it's still going to be Asar, it's still going to be prohibited. So within this pshat now, we're basically going in the other direction, meaning that even though one is not intending on Tziruf, if one is accomplishing Tziruf, so this is a Davashin Maskavin, and here, in this pshat in the Gemara, we're subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda that a davar she'eino miskaven is in fact going to be usur. Otherwise stated, the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rav Lo Shanu Ela Lahavshir. So now the Amoraim are going to be qualifying this machlokas that we just learned. Now, we just offer two pshatim within the Gemara. One of Rav Adam Ramasna and the other one of Abaye. And obviously, the difference between Rav Adar Bar Masna and Abaye is a textual issue, meaning how simply just to read the Mishnah. And then Unu Kimta, in terms of explaining the Mishnah, are you explaining the Mishnah using the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, which Rav Adar Bar Masna does, versus using the Shita of Rabbi Huda, which is how Abaye is going to be explaining our Mishnah. Amar Rav, continuing in the Gemara, Lo Shanu Ela Lahavshir. That's only true if I'm just looking to take the chill off the water of Elis Arif Aser. But if I wanted to, to finish off the kli itself by running cold water over the hakli, so then it's going to be aser. Ushmul amar afilu tsarif namimote. Now Shmuel says something which at first is going to be very difficult to understand. He says that if your intention is to do tziruf, so then it would be mutter. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Tsarif lechatchila mishari. No, everyone's in full agreement that if your intention is to do tziruf, so then no one would allow that. So ela yidmar hachi yidmar. So the Gemara says, okay. So clarification. Amar Rav loshanu ela shiur lahavshir. Rav says that this is only an issue if the amount that you put in is a shear, is the amount of water where the only thing that's being accomplished is that I'm just simply removing the chill off the water. Aval shear letzarif, but if I put in the amount of water where I know tziruf is going to be accomplished, that's going to be aser. Now, being that I'm not a smith and I do not have the experience to tell you exactly when this occurs, so I'm at a bit at a loss to explain what is the shear tziruf. However, Rashi writes over here, Elashir Lahavshir. Rashi writes, Velo Litzarif Kagon. Rashi says, what's the amount of water that's going to be put into the pot where we're looking to accomplish tziruf? So Rashi writes, Kagon Shalomilu Kulo, where I didn't fill it all the way to the top. Rashi's implication over here is that if I took the cold water and filled it all the way to the top, so then that would be, in fact, a violation of tziruf, meaning what you're looking to accomplish over there is tziruf. So that is Rashi's understanding of the shiur tziruf. That's how Rashi reads it. So what we have over here is that according to Rav, if the amount of water that's put in is lahavshir. Now, what we're going to say now is as follows, meaning in terms of our understanding of Rav. If the amount of water that you put in is just a little bit, so then clearly you're looking to cook the water and that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, that would be the malacha bishul. If I fill the water all the way to the top, so then that would be lahavshir. I'm sorry, that would be letzarev. And that would be aser because now you are violating another malacha, the malacha of makeh bepatish. So basically, the amount of water that has to go in is going to be enough so that the water, the, enough cold water so that that cold water will not cook, meaning it's got to be a significant amount. At the same time, however, once they fill it to the top, so then you get into the malacha of makeh b'patish. So Rav basically says that the range of water that has to go in is more so that it won't get cooked, but not too much so that it won't violate the iser of makeh b'patish. That is all the shita of Rav. Ushmul amar afilu shir letzaref mutar. Even if the amount that you put it in is the amount for tziruf, it would be permissible. Lameimra d'shmul k'rebi shimon sfirulei. And which gives us the impression that it wasn't your intention. And we're going to add the point of Tosfos where it's a davishin miskavein. And Shmuel is in fact subscribing to the shita of Rabbi Shimon that a davishin miskavein is going to be mutar. And from here the Gemara is going to take us now to discuss is that Shmuel's position that Rabbi Shimon, in fact, I'm sorry, that Shmuel subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, the Davin Shena Maskavin is Mutter, and there's going to be evidence that he does not subscribe to that viewpoint, and that's where we'll leave it off for the for tomorrow's daf. But in the meantime, however, let's quickly recap and review the Gemara in today's daf. Number one, we spoke very briefly and quickly about swimming in a lake on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. That is a forbidden activity. It's Gzeira D'Rabbanan that one is not allowed to do so. To wade in some sort of ambat, in some sort of bathtub, that would be okay. In terms of what's the difference between the ambat and the lake and what makes a distinction. So the Gemara talks about gidudim, having some sort of embankment, some sort of ridge around. We tried to come up to a some sort of definition of when is it a lake versus when is it an ambat. Rashi himself offers two pshatim. We only went through the second pshat of Rashi, which is the one he prefers. Anyway, admittedly, that is a tough sugya just in terms of trying to understand the definitions of what's a lake, what's not a lake, etc., etc. The Gemara continues its discussion regarding Rabbi Zeira. The Gemara told us a number of stories of Rabbi Zeira and capped it off with the idea that Rabbi Zeira himself wanted to make Aliyah, but his Rebbe, Rabbi Huda, did not want him to make Aliyah. And they had a halachic debate whether or not it was acceptable to go back to Eretz Yisrael, although we were not called back to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda says we're not allowed to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Zera felt otherwise. And so before Rabbi Zera finally did end up moving, going back to Eretz Yisrael, so he spent a little more time with his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, to learn. And the Gemara shared with us the last things that Rabbi Yehuda learned with Rabbi Zera before he made Aliyah. We then went on to the Mishnah regarding the urns that are used on Shabbos. The Mulyar versus the Antichi. The Gemara had a debate exactly what the Antichi is. And basically the Mulyar you can use on Shabbos provided that you adjust the flame. But the Antichi you're not allowed to use on Shabbos even if the flames are adjusted. And a debate in the Gemara what exactly is the Antichi. And finally the last thing we discussed was the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud where I take the water urn and I move it off the pot, off the fire on Shabbos. So this is a Kli Rishon Shehusar Min HaEish. And now a discussion in the Mishnah, well, not a discussion, but the Mishnah says that I can add water to it. However, the Mishnah says that if it's for the purposes of Hefsher, if it's just taking off the chill of the water, that would be okay. And then a discussion in the Gemara, exactly what the Mishnah meant. The Gemara gave two pshatim in the Mishnah. One, the pshat of Rav Adar Mamasna, and that is that when you're taking the water out of the water urn, and then you're putting water in the hot urn itself, the empty hot urn. So if you're doing so for the purposes of cooking the water, meaning only putting a little bit in, you violate Bishul. If you put in a lot of water, so then it would be okay, provided that you don't violate the Isser of Makeh B'Patish of Tziruf. According to Rav Adar Bar Masna, as long as you don't have intention to violate the Isser of Tziruf, so then it would be fine, because he subscribes to the issue, to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon that a davar shena miskaven is going to be mutter. On the other hand, Abaye offers a different pshat within the Mishnah, and according to Abaye, if I'm putting in the amount of water that would in fact create Tziruf, so then, even though that's not my intention, it would be usur. And the reason is because Abaye subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of a davar shena miskaven, which it would be usur. Within the shita of Rabbi Aga, so then the Amoraim, Rav and Shmuel, are going to be having a debate in terms of how much water are we talking about. Rav is of the opinion that if I'm filling the water all the way to the top, so then it's an inescapable conclusion that you are looking to create Siruf, and then it would be Aser. According to Shmuel, even if I filled the water all the way to the top, it's since my intention is that it's not, that I don't want to do Siruf, therefore it's going to be Mutter, because Shmuel in fact subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. And then the subsequent discussion within the Gemara in terms of what exactly is Shmuel's viewpoint. Does he subscribe to Rabbi Shimon of Adav Shein HaMaskavin? And we're going to start off the Gemara tomorrow discussing that there seems to be indicators that he doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Shimon by Adav Shein HaMaskavin. We'll stop here.